Please open your Bibles to the book of Job, the 23rd chapter, Job chapter 23, page 584 in your Scofield Bible. And we'll be reading in unison verses 8 through 10. After reading those three verses, we'll turn to yet one other verse in the book of Job. Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 10, page 584. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And let's begin together, please, with verse 8. Ready? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now Job chapter 19, page 581, and verse 25. Let's read it, please. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And let's pray. And Father, we pray for thy help. As was mentioned in the Sunday school lesson, we're just your little children, dependent upon thee. And if we're to have a good service, it's to be of thy doing. Bless, we pray. Give us yieldedness to thee. And prepare and help our preacher as he ministers to the needs of so great a people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because this is Lord's Supper morning. Let me tell you now, as I do often on this Sunday morning of the month, we will not preach 1 minute past 12:10. I may give you back a couple of minutes, and we will be gone before our usual time of 12:30. I assure you of that. We always let out before 12 by 12:30, and I want to assure you this morning that I will. If I guess at 5 after 12, you don't have to wonder how long preacher's going to keep on preaching. Most of you will be asleep by that time anyway, but to those of you who are still awake, you don't have to worry at all. You can, ladies, you can put your shoes on about 12:05. And so we'll be leaving, finishing this sermon before 12:10 and be out before 12:30. I want to speak this morning on the subject, why you feel like giving up. Why you feel like giving up. That's what Job said. But yet Job, after he said that, he finally ended up saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the last day upon the earth. And so I want to talk to you this morning. I want to tell you why you feel like giving up. There are hundreds of people in this room who just want to throw it all up in the air and say, fooey on the whole thing, I'm just going to give up. Some of you are so sick, you've thought about giving up. Some are so tired, you've thought about giving up. Some are so burdened, you've thought about giving up. Some are so heartbroken, you've thought about giving up. Some of you students have thought about giving up. Some of you senior citizens have thought about giving up. Some of you wives having a tough time have thought about giving up. And some of you men having a hard time making ends meet financially have thought about giving up. I want to speak this morning on the subject, why you feel like giving up. Father, bless the message this morning. Please give me the hearts and the minds and the attention of my people. You know I want to help them. By the way, this message can help them. So help them to listen attentively and help me to be attentive to you. Please. Amen. Why did God's people come to places? I'm not talking about unsaved now. Why did God's people come to places, their lives, where they want to give up? I'm going to share it with you this morning. You see, we want to give up because we do not fully understand the real issues of the Christian life. Now listen carefully to this. We turn our television sets on, and we hear one fellow talk about seed giving. You send me a seed. And that seed that you send me, you're planting. And that seed will grow and grow and grow. And you'll get far more money back than you gave. If I thought that were true, I'd sell my house and give the whole thing to Oral Roberts before sundown. But that's what they say. This seed giving. You can give yourself to wealth. You can give so much till you'll be wealthy. Not one thing in that Bible even close to that. Not one thing even close to that. Those preachers only have a half a dozen verses. Most of them are from Acts chapter 2. Not one thing in the Bible that ever says you can give yourself to wealth. Or you can give until you're wealthy. Not one thing in the Bible. Oh, you're thinking about some verses now, but I'll get to them after a while. Then you turn to the next channel or leave that one on. And somebody says, God wants everybody healthy. If you're not healthy, it's because of sin. Good night, if that's the case, I got sin all over me. I got everything. I won't go into that. Nobody listen anyway. But, of course, you want me to listen to you. But, that God wants you to be healthy. You got a wart on your hand. Oh, hold it. I have a message. I see you out there in Radio Land. I see a wart. No, I see a wart behind the microphone. I have a message out there. I have a message. It's a seed wart. You send the seed. God wants you to be well. There's not one single verse in that Bible that even comes close to that kind of garbage. Not one single verse in the Bible. Then another fellow comes on. He says, God doesn't want you poor. I wish some of these guys that live in their multi-million dollar mansions could see the hovels that the people live in who build those mansions for them. I wish they could see the circumstances under which the people live. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in tithing. I believe in giving to God. But, brother, the biggest fraud in America is this thing about you give to me and you'll be wealthy. You send your offering and you'll get more money back. Somebody said, well, Brother Hounds, the Lord will give you more back than the 10% you give. I'd like to know the scripture and verse on that, please. You say, but Malachi 3, 8 through 10. I thought you'd say that, so I'm going to talk about it after a while, a few minutes. But I'm simply saying, that's what you hear. And then you turn the next broadcast on. This guy is suave. The first one says, send me your seed. Send me your seed. You will be rich. Next guy says, God wants everybody healthy. Just put your hand on the radio and your wart will flee away. No, you just turn the knob, it clicks and your wart will flee away. But put your hand on the radio. And God doesn't want you to be sick. God wants everybody to be healthy and wealthy. But the next fellow is more suave. He says, sitting there beside the radio. There in Radio Land. Let God lift your burden. God doesn't want you to bear that burden. God wants to lift your burden. And his wife says, amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. You must have been watching some of that stuff. Now, so what happens? We do all they say. We send the money. Put our warted hands on the radio. Ask God to forgive us so we can get well. We do all they say, but nothing works. We wait for weeks and months and even years. We promise to do better. We have been promised a millennium in our houses, a heaven in our hearts, utopia in our lives. It doesn't come. We wait for weeks, months, years. And Satan comes along and he says, doesn't work, does it? Faith in God doesn't produce results, does it? Nothing has changed, says the evil one, has it? Now what's happened? Here's what's happened. We cannot live up to the image created by religion. This image that the Christian life is happy-go-lucky, rich. We've seen all the movie stars testify on television as they lift their tobacco-stained fingers and speak with liquor breath after they've been hugging and kissing and committing adultery on this television screen. You know, they now have Christian movie critics. I don't mean critics of Christian movies. They now have Christian people who review Hollywood movies to tell you which are the good ones. I can save their time. All of them are bad. All of them. You say, well, how about Disney? How about Disney movies? Rotten as everybody else's. To suck you in, to get you to the movie house. That's what it's all about. They're all rotten. They're all filthy. Hollywood is as rotten as the devil. You know it's the truth. So, this happy-go-lucky Christianity, I came to Christ. I had burdens. I've been saved. Haven't had a burden since I got saved. Of course, I've been saved 30 minutes, but I haven't had a burden yet. I'm successful. I came to Christ. My business was bankrupt. Now I'm a multimillionaire. Always up. Always upbeat. Don't talk much about the sawdust trail. It's a gold dust trail. The Bible's not a book of promises to give you strength when you have burdens. The Bible's a catalog in which you order. Our world is not idealistic. We can't understand. We have been led to false hopes. Now you listen to me. Nobody ever said the Christian life would be easy. Never was said. Not one place in that Bible says Christian life would be easy. Not one. You see, we're to be like Jesus. My Bible says he was a man of sorrows. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. My Bible says he was acquainted with grief. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. My Bible says he bore the cup of pain. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. My Bible says he spent the hour of temptation and the night of agony in the garden. We're to be like Jesus. We're to suffer like Jesus. At no place in the Bible is this health and wealth gospel taught. Paul said in Galatians 5:4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan being burdened. What he said? In this earthly body while we're here, we, Paul said, do groan, being burdened. I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you that Christ will take all your burdens away. I am going to stand up here and tell you he'll be beside you while you have the burden. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you won't be poor because, as a child of God, I'm not going to tell you that you'll never know poverty again. But I am standing up here to tell you that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you in your poverty. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you'll always be well. That's not what the Bible says. Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul himself besought the Lord thrice that he'd heal him of that thorn in the flesh. And God didn't do it. But God did say, my grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says we're pressed out of measure.
despised, and despair even of life. And you say, how about Malachi 3:10? Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may meet my house, saith the Lord. And prove me not, he was, saith the Lord of hosts, that I'll not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you should not. Here's what you think. You think, you better got a coin here. Grab me one real quick, like just a coin, any kind of coin. Anybody got a coin? Anybody got a $100 bill? Here's what we think. That means, bring you all the tithes to the storehouse. The Lord says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Then we throw a nickel up in the air and then dodge, waiting for all the money going to come back. The nickel won't even come back. That's not what that says. Well, you see, with the house, it says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Didn't say, I'll pour you out money. Didn't say, I'll open the windows of heaven, I'll pour you out silver dollars. I'll pour you out a blessing. Now, money is the cheapest of all God's blessings. Money is the most tainted of all God's blessings. God is not saying, you bring your tithes in the storehouse and I'll make you rich. God is saying, you bring your tithes in the storehouse and I'll open heaven's windows and I'll bless you. I'll bless you with the comfort. I'll bless you with strength. I'll bless you with health. I'll bless you with salvation. I'll bless you with power. That's what God is saying. God's not preaching this health and wealth. Listen, some of the dearest Christians in this world, in this room this morning, or in this world, or in this room, some of the sweetest, dearest Christians in this world are in this room this morning, and they're sitting here right now in pain and suffering. And Mr. Oral Roberts, I resent your implying that they're not good Christians. And I resent Mr. Swaggart, and I resent Mr. Roberts, and I resent all the rest of you guys implying that my church members who are suffering in the goodness and grace of God, who are suffering and going soul winning while they do, and praying while they do, and walking with God while they do, I resent your saying they're not good Christians. They've got more Christianity in their big toe than you've got in your whole body. Somebody ought to get the Bible and get the Bible down, and Jesus promises us a cross to bear. But you said, Brother Hiles, how about Luke 6:38? That says, given it shall be given unto you. But didn't, that's exactly true. But didn't say, give and I'll give it back. There are gifts that God has that are far greater than money. I wish you knew that. You know, when we give our offerings to God, we're not playing the lottery. God is not saying you'll get rich if you give. Somebody says, well, the 9/10 will go farther than the 10/10. Now you're lying, and you know you're lying. I'm not very smart, but I know 90 cents won't buy as much as a dollar. But that 10 cents you give to God gets more merchandise than the 90 cents will. I'm saying, you know, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about bacon and eggs. I'm not talking about potatoes and bread. I'm not talking about steak and eggs. I'm talking about real heavenly blessings. That's what I'm talking about. God says, if you will give to me, if you'll give, it shall be given you. What? The same thing? No, sir. God said, you can't buy with money what I'll give to you. I want to say two things about it. One is, we don't need a God who makes it so we don't need a God. See what I said? We don't need a God who makes it so we won't need a God. We need a God in our need. We need a God whom we have to have. We need a God who, okay, it says in 1 Corinthians 16:15, God says He wants us addicted. Yeah. He wants us, I mean, that's the word, you know, addicted to dope. God wants us addicted to Him. What does it mean? We've got to have Him. That's what God wants. God doesn't come down here and say, okay, you give to me and I'll just make it so you won't ever need me anymore. You'll be so rich you won't need me. You'll be so well you won't need me. No, sir. God wants us not, He doesn't give us what He gives us. So He says, I want to make you not need me. The very nature of God makes God want to feel needed. I said this in my Sunday school class this morning, implied this and said a little bit of it. When our girls were little,
They needed a daddy. When they got up a little older, they needed a daddy. When they got up to teenagers, they needed daddy's money. And when they got married, they needed daddy to pay the bills for the wedding. About got them paid off. They needed daddy. And when they're young married couples, I know this is true. In every case, all four of our children, in every case, I've helped them some financially to be able to get a house. I'm not wealthy, but I've helped them some to get the down payment for the house. I've borrowed money in most cases and helped them make the down payment. In the case of all four of our children, at least one time in their lives, I've helped them to be able to have a house to live in. And in some cases, I've helped them buy some of the furniture to the house. And I've always enjoyed, I mentioned the girls, because I've always enjoyed taking the girls to buy them a dress. But when they get a little older, they get a little more affluent, and they get nicer houses, and they get to where they have, in some cases, more money than the old man has. And it's not too big a deal anymore to buy them a dress. They can afford a better dress than I can afford to buy them in some cases. It's sort of a strange feeling when you get children that are middle-aged, almost middle-aged, some of them, and all of a sudden, about the only thing you felt like you ever could give them was a little money, maybe here and there, and you sort of live for that. God, that's what God is saying. God's saying, I don't want you so wealthy you don't need to pray for money. I don't want you so healthy you don't need to pray for strength. God says, I want you addicted to me. I want you to have me. I've had my chances to be wealthy. I really have. I could be worth several $1 million this morning if I'd taken the opportunities that have come my way. I've had my chances to be wealthy. I'm not a wealthy man. Folks think I am wealthy oftentimes because I try to give some. But I'm not a wealthy man. But I've had my chances to be wealthy. But I don't want to be wealthy. You know why? I'd miss going to the woods and saying, oh, God, I got to have that. That's one reason why Christian colleges are better off when they're poor than when they're rich. That's why we at Hiles Anderson College now for all these years, we've just barely kept the doors open. I told Dr. Evans yesterday, I said, Doc, I think I can almost see now where we can make it through the summer. Again, I'm talking about make it. I'm not talking about have millions of dollars. We don't have millions of dollars in the bank. We don't have $1 million in the bank. We don't have $500,000 in the bank. He said, oh, but the house, isn't that sort of risky? Well, unless you've got a promise that says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, unless you've got a promise that's calling me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, but thou knowest not. I'm saying every Bible college in America, every college in America was better off when she was poor. And God says, depend on me. That's what he wants. We don't need a God who makes it so we don't need a God. Somebody said to me, well, Hiles, I wish I were like you. I wish things just didn't hurt me. You just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. I wish things didn't hurt me. I wish I could be like you. If you were like me, things would hurt you. I hurt like you hurt. In some cases, maybe more. I pain like you pain. I can be sad like you're sad. Except I wasn't promised never to be sad. And I don't equate my Christianity with whether I got a pocket full of money or not. And I don't equate my Christianity whether I'm in good health or not. And I don't equate my Christianity whether I'm happy or not. God never promised that. God never promised you the difference from sorrow. He promised you a friend in sorrow. God never promised you deliverance from pain. He promised you strength enough to keep going in the pain. That's what God has promised you. That's why you want to give up. You see, somebody has made you expect more than, well, not more, but something different from what God gives you in the Christian life. Somebody led you to believe that you serve God, you have a lot of money. Somebody led you to believe you give, you get rich. Somebody led you to believe that if you're right with God and don't live in sin, you'll never get sick. Somebody led you to believe that kind of garbage. And as far as I'm concerned, all those fellas going off the television set would be too late getting off. They went off tomorrow.
You haven't got the business watching those false teachers and heretics. No business at all. It's not Bible. You think God wants us to invest in Him like you'd invest in General Motors? You think God wants to be like AT&T? You think God wants to be like Eastern Airlines? No. God wants to be your daddy. And as your daddy, God wants to supply your needs. And as your daddy, God wants you to need Him. God didn't give those Israelites enough manna when they left the land of Egypt. Didn't drop enough manna for them to store up. All for the whole journey. Are you listening to me? The whole journey to the promised land. God gave them every day the manna for that day. Second thing I want to say, besides we don't need a God who makes it so we don't need a God. We don't need a God who provides us what we need. See what I said? God is no Aladdin lamp. God's no rabbit's foot. God's no genie to rub. God, we don't need a God who provides us what we need. Hear me now, hear me now. We need a God who is what we need. I don't need food. I need Him to provide my food. I don't need clothes. I need Him to provide my clothes. I don't need housing. I need Him to provide my housing. I need Him. I'd rather have Him and be hungry than not have Him be full. I'd rather have Him and be cold and to not have Him and be warm. I'd rather have Him and be destitute than not have Him and be secure financially. And that's why you want to give up. That's why you feel like giving up. Because somebody has built you a false image of the Christian life and you've got this thing all built up as to what the Christian life's supposed to be about. And brother, we haven't got the foggiest idea. Listen, tell the folks that were in the catacombs about that kind of Christianity. Hey, Mr. Oral Roberts, Mr. Swaggart, and all the rest of you, why don't you tell the folks in the catacombs, give and it shall be given you. Why don't you tell the Christians beaten, give and it shall be given you. Why don't you say, give us some seed money, give us some seed money to those who are beaten and destroyed and killed and put in lion's dens and bathed in hot oil and stabbed and crucified and burned at the stake. Tell them about your heresy, your false teaching. The simple truth of this book is that God's people will suffer and God's people will hurt. And God's people will have pain. And God's people will be poor. But the difference is we have God in those pain, in that suffering. It's heresy. It's false teaching. It's satanic teaching. And that's why America's got a bunch of people wanting to give up. Truth is, Christian life's a battle. First time you decide to give all you have to God, you've got a battle on your hands. You've got a battle at work. You've got a battle at school. You may have a battle at home. You've got a battle in your neighborhood. It's a battle. You say, well, why come to a battle? Because the general is so wonderful. That's Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's a bed of thorns. You say, well, the house. Well, I come because the rose of Sharon is there. Check the Bible. Check the great saints of the faith. Asked Latimer and Ridley when they were burning at the stake. And they said, these fires of this stake will light a fire that will burn and be seen around the world. Ask Mr. Huss, who was burned to the stake and who said, Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. I'd gladly wear this crown for Him. Folks are flocking to those churches by the thousands all over America, getting nothing but heresy. I'm talking about heresy. I'm talking about false prophets teaching false doctrine. Exactly what? I listened to those fellows and I sent them some money. Are you rich yet? Have you had the flu yet? The only healing going on that kind of garbage is that they're well healed. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm trying to warn my people of a heresy that makes you want to give up. You build yourself a certain kind of a fantasy that this is what the Christian life is supposed to be, and here you are with bills you can't pay, and with diseases you can't heal, and problems you can't solve, and questions you can't answer, and burdens you can't bear, and you say, I think I'll just give up. It's not what I thought it'd be. No, it's not what the false teachers said it would be. You said, then why be a Christian? Because of Jesus. A couple comes to my office. They want to get married. They're out of college and want to get married. They look at each other. They don't even know I'm there. They come to get my advice. Should we get married or not? They ask each other. Brother Hosbius came to ask you, should we get married? She said, that's why we came to ask you. I could leave the room. They wouldn't know it. And I asked the question. Well, how much money do you make? Well, $150 a week. That's the rent. Now let's go on. Well, can you make it on that? Well, we don't know. Well, you understand what kind of place you'd have to live in? We don't care. Well, look. What you going to live on? Love. Well, I mean, can you see your way through? Can't see anything but her. Well, look. Son, if you didn't marry, you'd just have yourself to support. You could drive a nice car. I'd rather ride a bicycle built for two. You know what he's interested in? He's interested in her. She's interested in him. They know it's going to be a life of sorrow, but they have each other. They know there'll be times of tears, but they have each other. They know they're in poverty, but they have each other. And so I say this morning, you come to Christ, and I say, folks, you're going to have problems, but you're going to have each other. You're going to have sorrows, but you'll have each other. You're going to have heartaches, but you'll have each other. You say, what is that blessing? He said, the Lord says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and I'll be roomed up to say, what is that blessing? Let's start off with Jesus. Pretty good. That's a pretty good start. Oh, but with the house says, given it shall be given you. What is that last that given me? Well, let's start off with Jesus. Yeah. Well, you say, with the house, you mean as a Christian I may have pain? Yeah, But you won't know it because you're in love. Heartache and sorrow. But you see, somebody came to you, and somebody, and you're watching all that stuff. Suppose you want to watch it. Look, if I were you, I'd turn those things off and watch the game programs. You'll get more investing in the game programs than you will in the Christian lottery. But that's why you want to give up. Because things aren't going well as you count going well. Well, good night, brother. Look up right beside you. You got the Son of God there. Why worry? Why fret? Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Now I want to say this, and I'll close. Number one, realize He loves you. Realize He loves you. Realize He loves you. Number two, you trust Him. That's what He wants. Job said, I looked to my right hand, couldn't see him. Looked to my left hand, couldn't see him. Looked forward, couldn't see him. Looked backward, couldn't see him. But he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. How do you know it, Job? I trust him. Well, Job, you're sitting there in the ash heap. Remember all that money you sent to Oral? Somebody didn't like what I'm preaching this morning. I'm going to worry about it, probably 10 seconds sometime when I can work it into my schedule. Yeah. Lord, I sent some seed money in. I'd just like to have the seed back. I never got a flower. I never got any vegetables. They said I'd get a whole garden. Sent some seed money in. Job, you're sitting there in the ash heap, aren't you?
Yeah.
How your children?
All dead.
Oh, dead?
Yeah.
How many did you have?
10.
Well, how much you got in the bank?
Nothing.
How about you? Ranch, having all those cattle?
Dead.
Well, boy, God bless you. Boy, it's worth it. You got a good wife stand beside you. Oh, she stand behind me. About 2 miles behind me. Well, Job, it's a Christian life. Won't you give up? Why should I give up? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand again the latter day. Now look, don't give up. You feel like giving up. And the reason you feel like giving up is because you have been given a wooden nickel and some dreams have been dreamed. And some fantasies have been created that are not realistic. The realistic thing is this. Jesus came as a man of sorrows, a man of suffering, a man led as a sheep before the shearer is dumb. He came as a man acquainted with grief. He came as a man solitary, alone, in agony, in the garden. He came to go to Calvary and have nails in his hands and his feet. And he says, I am to be like him. Why be a Christian? Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I've had my chances to be rich, as men count riches. But I am rich, as he counts riches. Why? I have him. Father.